Begin the Karat Dav, Masechet Zevachim, Dav Tzadi Dav. Begin 4 lines down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Dav. And that is, the Gemara was explaining the machlekes we had in the previous mission between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Lazar regarding this halacha that we're mentioning in this parak of Dam Chatas, when the blood of a Kama Chatas spills, it sprays on the garment. The halacha is, the Torah says, well, one has to go ahead and launder it and wash that garment. So that the Mishnah was qualifying what type of a garment requires that halacha. So there was a machlekes between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Lazar regarding a case of a hide of an animal, which is the skin of an animal that was skinned, but it yet wasn't worked on, it was just skinned. Is that going to be susceptible to this halacha or not? So on that, their machlikas, the Gemara said, was how do they define beged? We learn that the Torah says it has to be a garment, but what does it mean like a garment? So on that, we have one interpretation that says, just like a garment is ro lekabel tumah, is susceptible to be vulnerable to tumah, so it has to be something that's ro lekabel tumah. Now, or Mr. Hushit, the skin, once it was, the skin of the animal, once it was taken off, once it was skinned, it's ro lekabel tumah, and therefore it's going to be susceptible to this halacha. However, Belaza said, no, it has to be something that's davah makabel tumah, like a garment. Just like we find by beged, by shratzim, it refers to something that's actually makabel tumah, so it has to be something that's actually right now could receive tumah. In contrast to Or Mishal Hufshid, the hide of the animal, once it's skinned, it's ro, but not makabel tumah right now, and therefore, that would not be included in the halacha of washing off if the dam chatzis would spill on it. On that, the Gemara asks, my beinai, what's the difference between them? In other words, we know the difference is this case of Or Mishal Hufshid, but what is the fundamental principle that they're disagreeing about? They're both learning off from the word beged, but one is saying, oh, what is a beged? It's something that's ro lekabel tumah. The other one's saying, no, beged is something that is mekabel tumah. On that, as the Gemara, where do we ever find a garment that's ro lekabel tumah, but it's not going to receive tumah right now? Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye says, I'll tell you the case. And therefore, that's what they're disagreeing about. How do you qualify beged? Is it that it's mekabel, or is it, even if it's not makabel, just ro, is a matlis b'chusa mishalish ikabinai. The difference between them is going to be, if you have a kerchief that's less than 3 finger breadths squared. Now, although generally that is the minimum amount of being makabel tumah, and therefore it automatically is makabel tumah, and that's why the Gemara was asking, it either is makabel or not, can't be that it's able to be, but it's not. And that says the Gemara, no, Abaye says it could be less than 3 finger breadths, but Mandam Aro, the one Rabbi Huda who says that it all has to be is able to be makabel tumah, not right now, but it's theoretically possible. Hanam Aro, this is also how so. Dibayi chashav aleihu, because if the person who owns it wants to, he could think about wanting to use that kerchief that's very small to fix his clothing, to fix his shirt, and as a patch. If that you give it that chashivus, you consider it that you have a utility for it, it already becomes part of that garment. And therefore, it could be susceptible to tumah. But right now, if you're not going to think about it, it's in its current state, it's not makabel tumah, but it's a ro. Whereas mandam dav makabel tumah, Rabbi Elazar holds it has to be something that right now can receive tumah. Hamilaf bas kabuli tumahu. Right now, it's not able to receive tumah, and therefore, you see that there are those cases, and that's what they're disagreeing about. How do we qualify beged? A second interpretation, Rav Amar, he says, no, you could even have their machlekes, even regarding a large garment, that it could be ro lekabel, but not right now being makabel. How so? For example, a beged shechish v'leil lutzura, a garment that the owner was thinking about, he wanted to have it embroidered. Ikebenayah, that's the difference between them. Because as long as it's not embroidered yet, either, or if he didn't nullify his thought about embroidering it, if he still has that dream, he wants to embroider it, it's not going to be a garment yet. Because it's not finished. An unfinished garment is not considered a garment, even if it's very large. So therefore, Mandam Aro, Rabbi Huda says, all has to be is able to be makabel tumah. Hanam Aro, this is also Ro. Why? Dibay mevat leila machshavte. If he wants to, right now he could just change his mind. He's not going to embroider anymore. Not embroidering. So it's a finished garment. So it's makabel tumah. It could be right now be makabel tumah. Now, although generally we know that one thought regarding tumah cannot remove a different thought regarding tumah. So seemingly, that's difficult, because right now, he originally had a thought he wanted to embroider it, which means it's not makabel tumah yet. And now, you're saying he could think he doesn't want to embroider it, and therefore it could be susceptible to tumah right now. But don't we generally say, ein machshava maitim ein machshava? So that says, Rashi, that halacha is actually only regarding removing something from the susceptibility of tumah. As the Mishnah teaches in Kalim, in the Perchafei Mishnah Tess, that once it became susceptible to tumah through a person's thought, which let's say he thought he's done with it and it's ready, then the machshava to say, oh, I'm not done with it, can I remove it from its susceptibility to tumah? But to actually give it the ability of tumah, that the Mishnah says over there, kala kelim yerlim de tumasa b'machshava. Yes, something can be susceptible to tumah just with the thought process, and that could be mighty from the original initial machshava of not having it ready by thinking, yeah, I'm not going to embroider it, would make it right away susceptible to tumah. And therefore it's ro. But mandam adavar makabel tumah, but according to Rabbi Elazar, it says it has to be able to receive tumah right now. Hashta meila bas kabuli tumah. So right now that you still have that idea that you want to embroider it, it right now would not be susceptible to tumah. So again, that's a second type of a case where we find that you could have a beggar that's ro, but not makabel tumah right now. Third interpretation, Rav Ami says, utzva, a cloth, which either like a tablecloth or a bed sheet, which generally made out of leather, some make them out of fabric, which the halacha is that if someone is thinking regarding using something as a sheet, so for a sheet, you don't need to have it, you don't have to make it a trimming on the edge to make it beautiful. Because generally for just a sheet, tablecloth, you don't go ahead and make a trimming, as the Gemara brings in Baba Kama, that's some of Vav and Beis. But, says Rava, in the case of with the chashav ala lekatza, with the owner thought, no, he wants to go ahead and make a trimming for it, then it's not going to be susceptible to tumah until he actually makes the trimming, as the Gemara says later on. Or that he's mevatlis machshava from wanting to make the trimming. So therefore, this garment which is being made for a sheet, which the person thought about that he wants to make a trimming, so it's ro lekabel tumah. What do you mean ro lekabel tumah? Right now it's not, but if he would change his mind, what's called bitl machshava, and he said, I'm not going to make a trimming, so then it would become makabel tumah. But right now it's not, because he still has the idea he wants to make the trimming. And therefore, it's regarding that type of a case, the ikubay now, that's the difference between them. Mandam aro Rabbi Huda, who says that when it talks about a garment in the Torah, it means that it's able to contract tumah. But a garment that's not makabel tumah, only that's ro makabel tumah, is still considered pegged. So hanami ruya, this is also considered ro lekabel tumah. But man da amad davar makabel tumah, according to Rabbi Elazar, who he says that no, he learns that the halacha of beged from the halacha of shratzim, which also use the terminology of beged, and they're talking about literally being makabel tumah from the shratzim. Only then do we call it in the Torah beged halav makabel tumah ad makatzala. Then this thing is not going to makabel tumah until you actually make the trimming, or at least change your mind. And this guy still wants to make the trimming, and therefore it would not be susceptible to the halacha of washing off the chatas adam, because it's not like the beged, which is makabel tumah right now. And says the Gemara Vatanya, so too we learn in the Braisa this idea, this like this last interpretation. The Rishim Menasiyim, he says, utzva shechishavala lekatza, regarding this bed sheet or this tablecloth, which the person's idea was, okay, wait, I'm not finished with this yet, I still want to make a trimming. Tahira, ache ketziyana. So it's going to be tar, it's not going to be susceptible to tumah until he makes the trimming, or he changes his mind, because like we said, it could become susceptible to tumah even just by his mind, by changing his mind. But until he does, it's going to be tar. Again, like we said, this third interpretation, but it's ro, but it's not makabel. That's the difference between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Elazar regarding their machlekes in the case that comes out regarding the Or Mishal Hufshit, where it's ro lekabel tumah, but it's not makabel tumah right now. How do you learn that the word beged when it talks about washing off the dam chatas? Is it something that's ro lekabel tumah, as we see three cases which are ro, even though, or like the other opinion, that has to be actually makabel tumah, like Rabbi Elazar said. Now the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our Mishnah that said, further qualifying this halacha of our perek, ein torn kibus v'chulu. This halacha of washing the garment that had the blood of the chata spill on it, said the Mishnah, you don't have to wash it the whole thing, just the place where the blood spilled on it. Says Gemara Menon Mila, where do we know this from? Says Gemara Tarmon, like learn the Braisa. Yochal nitas al mikzas beged. It says the Braisa, you would think that if the blood of the chata spills on part of the beged of the garment, yehi kala beged torn kibus, you'd have to wash the whole garment. Tamalim ashayiza. That's the part that says where it sprays. I only said where the blood sprayed on it, only that's the part of the garment you have to wash. Now the Mishnah continued in saying, moreover, it's only something that is fit to be susceptible to tumah, the chulu, etc., which says the Gemara, stomach Rabbi Huda, that anonymous part of the Mishnah was like Rabbi Huda, who he says, not like Rabbi Elazar, it's enough to be roll the kabbal tumah to be obligated in this halacha, and not to literally be able to be kabbal tumah right now. Moreover, the Mishnah said that it has to be ro lekibus, has to be fit to be washed. Says the Gemara, what's that coming to tell us? Lemu'ute kli, it's coming to exclude a vessel, like made out of wood, Devar gredahu, where you don't wash wood, you scrape it, you clean it by scrubbing it. That's a different type of a cleansing process. Those are not things that you wash in the sense of laundering, and therefore they don't have this halacha of kibus. Now the Mishnah said, Echad abeged v'echad asak v'chulu. This halacha is regarding garments, sackcloth, or like the Mishnah said, even regarding leather. That asked the Gemara, remember the urba kibusu? Is that really so, that leather is something that could be washed? In other words, just like we just said before, regarding wooden vessels, utensils, that there's no halacha because you don't launder it, you scrape it to clean it. So you're saying that leather, like the Mishnah says, is something that is laundered and therefore has the halacha? But v'rminu, that seems to be contradicted by a Mishnah we learned in Masechta Shabbos. Mishnah says over there, is haisa olav, if there was on a pillow made out of fabric, lishleshes, which is some type of filth, either of mucus or of waste matter on a pillow, says the Mishnah, mikancha b'smartet. So what you could do is, on Shabbos, you could scrub it with a cloth, which is, but you're not allowed to put water on that stain, which would to totally get rid of it, because that would be a violation of the av malacha, of malabin, of whitening, which is what's the related halacha of that is mechabes, of laundering, of washing, of cleansing. But says the Mishnah, haisa, if this filth was on a pillow of shalur, of leather, then you could wash it with water until you get rid of, by washing it off with water, that filth that's on the pillow. Now, however, but you're not allowed to actually scrub the pillow, even though it's made out of leather, but you're allowed to pour water over it. But one thing we see, obviously, is that leather is different than a regular garment, a regular fabric, where you say you're allowed to put water over it, obviously because there's no halach of kibus, of laundering, by leather. That contradicts the halach of our Mishnah, that there is halach of kibus, of laundering. So Abaye says, lekash, not difficulty. You're right, they're different. Ha Rabbanan, the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos is like the Rabbanan. Ha Acherim, the Tana of our Mishnah is like the others. The time I learned the Brice, it's actually machloik, is how do you qualify leather? The Rabbanan say, habeged vasak, regarding, and this is in the context there, machloik is of the halacha of our sugya, regarding dam chatas, the blood of a korban chatas fell on a garment. So the Brice says, if it's on a garment or a sackcloth, so machab say, then you have the halacha of washing it, of that halacha of our perek. Hakliva ar, if it spills on a vessel or on leather, megari, then you scrape it. Which is that the Rabbanan over here is like the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, that there is no kibbutz by Ar. However, Achirim, the others say, referring to Remeir, Habeged v'hasak v'ar mechabsoi, the garment and the sackcloth and the leather, you do wash it off, which is like the Tana of our Mishnah, that there is a halach of kibbutz by Ar, v'akli megare, and by a vessel you scrape it. So it's actually machlekes regarding leather, if it's something that's bar kibbutz or not. So on that as the Gemara, then Kaman Azla Hadam Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, then who is it going like this statement that was said to Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, that he said, Zimnin Sagin Havakim the Kamedi Rav, he says, many times I was in front of Rav, Veshich Shechi Le Mesani B'mai, and I rinsed his shoes off with water on Shabbos. Kaman, who's that like? Shoes are made out of leather. Says the Gemara, obviously, Krabbanan, like the Rabbanan, who Abaye said, they hold that there is no kibbutz on leather, and therefore on Shabbos you let her wash the pillow made out of leather. And also, he was able to wash his shoes. So it comes out according to Abaye, it's a machlokes tanoim. Now, Amar Rava, Rava asked Abaye, Umika lamanda Amar Erlar bar kibbutz. So is it really so, like you're saying, that there are opinions, like the Rabbanan, that hold that leather is not something that's washed, that's launderable, that has the halacha of kibbutz to it? But Voksiv, but says Rava, it's a pasuk in Yikra, when it talks about the halachas of Negoyim, it says, V'habeged, the garment, or Yashasi, or the warp thread, or Ha'erev, the woof thread, a kol kli ha'ar, all leather clothing, garments, asher techabsim, which you're going to have to wash, that which has the nega. So you see, the pasuk says that there is kibbutz by ar. The pasuk explicitly says that leather is in the halacha of kibbutz, of techabsim. So Elam Rava, rather Rava says as follows, he says, Kra, which we just brought, this pasuk, Umas Nitin, and our Mishnah over here in our Masechta, which is obviously both saying that there is kibbutz by leather, that's berachin. That's by soft leather, which everyone would agree, of course. Soft leather is like a garment, is that you wash it, you launder it. Ki pligi, when did we have the machlekes? We brought in the brayse between the Acherim and the Rabbanan, which clearly they disagree regarding the dam chatas, if you're going to be doing kibbutz or giru. That's percussion, that's by hard leather. That's where that machlek is. And therefore we have resolved all the different sources. Our Mishnah and the Pasuk, everyone agrees to. where it's talking about soft leather, that there's kibbutz. So for dam chatas, you wash it. Regarding the halach of the negel, you'll wash it. However, the machlik is regarding the dam chatas, that was regarding hard leather. However, on that, as the Gemara, but if you're going to tell me that there is laundering by leather, but v'am Rav Chiya, which we brought before, Rav Chiya said, Zimin sagin havakim nekamid Rav, many times out front of Rav, v'shik shechilei mesani b'maya, and they washed his shoes off with water. You just said that everyone agrees by leather that there is a halach of kibbutz, as we brought from a pasuk. Says the Gemara, no, b'kashin ukrabanan. The shoes that Rav was wearing was hard leather, which is like drabanan, which we brought, that they hold that hard leather, that then there is no halacha of kibbutz, like we brought that Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, and we brought in the Braisa that they disagree with the Acherim, that yeah, then there's no kibbutz. What did we say according to everyone, this kibbutz, like in the Pasuk, there was too much soft leather. However, Hadam Rava, but then Rava subsequently retracted, and he said, no, lav milsa hidamri, it's not of substance, this that I said, to explain the Pasuk, that there's kibbutz by leather, only by soft leather, because the pasuk says open-ended statement. Doesn't differentiate between soft leather or hard leather, because nekud namely lekra, we're going to go ahead and establish and qualify the pasuk. The chik sivan, that when it was writing that there is kibbutz by a nega of leather, barachin ksivan, that it was only talking about soft leather, isn't the pasuk also talking about bekli achsalgia habom evdin sayam? Isn't even talking about hard leather? Achsalgia is this leather that's boiled and it's hard leather, which comes from overseas. Vekam rechman in the bayi kibbutz, and the Torah is saying all types of leather requires to be washed. So how could I say that? Oh, it depends. Soft leather, yeah, everyone agrees, like the pasuk. Hard leather, oh, that's what machlek is. But the pasuk is also talking about even hard leather too, and it says that there's kibbutz there too. Elam Rava, rather Rava says it's not difficult. Because that pasuk is talking about tsaras, the nega, on the leather. Kivin de megufi koparcha, since the tsaras comes from the thing itself, it's an outgrowth which this thing has, this tsaras, mechalchalalei, so it actually weakens the leather, umashvileirach, and it makes it soft. So therefore, you're right. The pasuk of tsaras is all types of leather, even hard. But it's going to get the same qualification as soft leather because it becomes soft through the tsaras. Our Mishnah is, like we said before, by soft leather, and therefore, yeah, no one's going to disagree with the halacha, that there's halacha of kibbutz by it. The machlekes between Rabban Nachem was by hard leather. And the pasuk doesn't contradict, because although it's saying that this hard leather is going to have the halacha of kibbutz, it's because that hard leather ends up becoming soft through the tzaras that's inside of it. But, Amar Rava, he says, although I have seemingly resolved the interpretation, but ikashli, if I do have a difficulty, hokashli, it's the following question, as a continuum at base. Karm b'ksasis d'rachaninu. Pillows, blankets, those are soft because no one makes his blanket out of hard leather. He's making it out of soft leather that he could lay on. Yet a Tanan, the Mishnah we quoted before Masechta Shabbos, is talking about pillows and blankets, and it says, Haisa shalar, if the pillow was from leather, nois nula mai machatechla, and we said it's talking about soft leather because you're not making a pillow out of hard leather. Not a hard, like a leather-bound safer, you're going to lay on that. No, you make it soft leather. And it says you put on water until you could clean it off. Now, that's soft leather. We just established, according to everyone, soft leather has kibbutz. So how you let it go ahead and wash the soft leather pillow with water? Elam Rava, rather Rava says the following qualification. He says, kol kibbutz de lesle kiskus, any laundering that doesn't have with it scrubbing, which is that you take one part of the garment against the other part of the garment, the way people, when they wash, they hold on to the garment with two hands and then they scrape it, they scrub it. Loishmei kibbutz, that's not considered laundering. And that's why you could put on water on the stain, until on the filth, until it comes off the leather pillow, even if it's soft leather, because that's not kibbutz. You're right. Kibbutz, everyone agrees, is a problem on soft leather, but that's not kibbutz. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask, well, if that's the case, then why does the Mishnah say over there, but if it's a pillow made out of fabric, that you're not even wash it off with water, why? If you're saying that laundering is not a problem until you do the scrubbing, so why can't you wash the fabric pillow also with water? But that's what Rava is answering. He's saying, no, the reason why it's permitted over there with the leather pillow is because you're just washing it, you're just rinsing it, and you're not scrubbing it. And says the Gemara, V'hodom Rav Chiya bar Ashi. This Rav Chiya bar Ashi had said, Zimn tzagin havakim nekamid Rav, that do many times in front of Rav on Shabbos, v'shech shechilei mesan b'mayan, and they wash his shoes off with water. Now, the inference of his words are shikshuch in. He only rinsed Rav's shoes. Aval kibbutz, which is brought down that the girsa should be cheschuse, which is like we just said, that's really what Rav is coming to say. But scrubbing, that type of laundering, loy, that he didn't do because that's not permitted to be done on Shabbos. So that says the Gemara, Ibarachan, because either Rav's shoes were soft leather, ukativ rakol, like everyone, which everyone agrees according to the way Rav is saying it, that you're not allowed to do chischus, the real laundering, on soft leather, or Ibakashan, or you could even say that Rav's shoes were hard leather, ukacherim, like dacherim, not like drabanan, who they say that even on hard leather, there's also going to be a problem about the true laundering of leather, which is not just rinsing, but actually the scrubbing, and the scrubbing was what's forbidden. It was only the shikshuk, the actual rinsing, that was permitted. Now, but then the Gemara asked, as we mentioned beforehand, but ihach, if that's the case, that Rav is making a novel understanding of laundering, that the washing is not a problem, it's only the scrubbing with the washing that's a problem, then beganami. Then a pillow made out of fabric should also be able to be, that you should be able to pour water on the filth. Why does the Mishnah say in Shabbos that you only got to take a shmata, take a rag and scrub it? Why can't you use any water? Just putting water, you're saying it's not considered kibbutz. Says the Gemara, by beged is different. You're right. By leather, pouring out water is not laundering. But by a garment of fabric, shriyasei zehu kibbutzai. Just soaking it in water is already washing it. That's how the difference of the consistency of a fabric is versus that of leather. Leather, you just put in water, it's not going to be cleaning. It doesn't get into the kishkis of it. But a fabric, it does, and therefore it's problematic. They're even just putting water on it. As the Gemara says, Rav l'tameh, and this is Rav according to his reasoning mentioned elsewhere. Dama Rav, Rav said, Zarek sudu l'mayim chayim. Someone throws a kerchief into water on Shabbos, he's liable. Zarek pishtin l'mayim chayim. If he throws flax seeds into water, he's also liable, as the Gemara is going to explain. As the Gemara says, Bishlam is sudu, we understand why if you throw a kerchief, some type of cloth into water on Shabbos, he's liable because of it kibbutz. That's laundry, like we said before. That's Rav l'shitasei, that shviyas zeu kibbutz, just soaking it is washing it. And that's why on Shabbos, the pillow, you can't even put water on it. Elazer pishtin my time, but it says the Gemara, but why can't you throw flaxseed into water on Shabbos, that one would be liable? Now, if you're going to say the reason is because then it's going to sprout in the water, and that's one of the lamatas malachas of zeriya of planting. But then that should be a problem even for wheat and barley. Those seeds also will sprout. So why is it only by flax seeds? It says the Gemara, hanach islahu riri. The flax seeds, when you put into water, there's a mucousy substance that oozes out, which makes the seeds attach together, which you don't have by wheat and barley. So I'm not asking about Iyachi, but if that's the reasoning why it's forbidden, because the mucus that comes out of the flax seeds make them stick together, and that's the liability, well then Shulchaim Nami, then unfinished hides, which weren't properly tanned yet, when you put into water, there also there's this thick, oozy substance that comes out, and it also is a sticky substance, that should also be prohibited to, that one should be liable for putting those hides also into water on Shabbos. Says Gemara, no, the idea is not because this substance comes out. Hasam over there by the flax seeds, when the substance, this mucousy substance oozes out, ka'avad lisha, it makes it into a derivative of the lamates malachas of lisha of kneading, because it makes them stick together like a doughy consistency. But by the hides, it doesn't make it when it sticks together like lisha. Lisha is only when you take something that was looser consistency, and then now it became like a more solid substance together. That happens by the flax seeds, but that doesn't happen by chit and sari, because they don't even have the riri. And even the shlachaim, these unfinished hides, which do have it, but they don't stick together one substance like the flax seeds. Darash Rava, continuing on the above halachas, Rava says, Mutta l'chabes min l'b'shabes. Says, you're allowed to wash shoes on Shabbos. On that, Amlir Pabla Rava, after Rava had sat down, his interpreter, the one who would say over the lecture to the populace, sat down, so Rav Pabla said to Rava, how could you say that? Vamar B'chia Barashi, which we quoted before, Zimnin Tzagin Avakim Nekamed Rav, many times I was from the Rav on Shabbos, V'shech Shechile Meson Nebemaya, and they rinsed his shoes with water. Now the inference is, Shech Shechin, you're only allowed to rinse it. Avakibus Labinala, wash the shoes, which we said washing means scrubbing, that you're not allowed to do. So how are you getting up there and telling the people that they're allowed to wash the shoes in Shabbos, which includes even scrubbing? So Hadar Uki Rava, Amari Levadar, so Rava went, at that time, he said to his translator, he said, get up and let's tell the people that I retract from what I just said before. Dvarm Shemarti Lefnechem Toyes Hebiyad, he said to the people, the words that I told you before are a mistake. I said an error. Barum Kalcham, rather, this is what they said. Shikshuk mutter, to rinse the shoes are permitted, kibus asa, but to wash them, to launder them is forbidden, meaning to go out and scrub them, that would be forbidden to do for shoes on Shabbos. The Gemara continues that the halacha of our Mishnah said, Hakibus b'makom kadosh, that this washing of the garment that had the dam chata spill on it has to be done in the holy place, meaning in the azara of the Beis HaMikdash. And chul, etc. And then said for the other two halachas also, that of when one cooks in the kli charis, that has to be broken, has to be in the azara. And by metal utensils like nechayshes, which they have to be purged, they also have to be done b'makom kadosh. Says the Gemara, where do we know these three halachas from? Says the Gemara, turn boy, learn the Brice, the Pasuk Meyukah that talks about this halacha when the dam chata spills on the garment, says the chabis b'makom kadosh, you should wash it in the holy place. So that's clear. But shviris kli charis minan, how do we know this other halacha of the breaking of the earthenware vessel that had the karma chatas cooked in it, that has to be broken in the holy place? Where do we know that from? So because says the Gemara, Tamalema, because the Pasuk says right after that Pasuk about laundering the garment, it says this next halacha, and therefore it's continuous from this b'makom kadosh, it says v'chli charis asher tevusha b'yishaver, that an earthenware vessel which the chatas was cooked in should be broken. Now, Mariko Shtifa Bekli Nechayshim Nain, how do we know regarding the purging and the rinsing of a copper utensil that has to also be B'makom Kadosh? Tamalem, because the Pasuk there also continues and says, V'im Bekli Nechayshim B'shal, and if it was cooked in a copper utensil, Umurik V'shutiv B'mayim, then it has to be washed and purged in water. So it's a continuation of all them have the halacha that it says in the Pasuk of B'makom Kadosh. Now, the Mishnah said regarding this topic of this perek that zeh, this halacha of washing the garment that the blood spilled on, is a chayim b'chatas v'chula, is a stringency that chatas has over all other kachay kachay. Now, that is the Gemara v'sulaka, and there are no other stringencies, but v'ikah, but there are other stringencies that chatas has, not just zeh, as if this is the one stringency. Shenichnis dama lifnim, the blood of the karma chatas is the only one that its blood is brought into the holy areas of the heichal kachay kachay. Regarding other Kadshim, their blood is not brought into the Kadshia Kadshim. Says the Gemara, you're right, but we're not talking about that Chatas. We're talking about Chatas HaChatzainis. We're saying even the Ardur Chatois, that's still a stringency that it has over all other Kadshia Kadshim. So the Gemara asks, okay, fine, but even by the Chatas HaChatzainis, there's also a stringency, another one that it has over all other Kadshia Kadshim. She'im Nichnes Dama Lefnim Psula, if its blood goes into the Heichel, meaning the Chatzah Chatzayin goes into the Heichel, it's going to become invalidated. That's a stringency in the blood. Like the Pasuk V'yikrava V'chol Chatzah Ashayuva, any Chatzah that's blood brought into the Heichel becomes invalidated. Unlike all other Karbanis that don't have that stringency. Says the Gemara, no, Kerebe Kiva. The Tana of our Mishnah is like Rebbe Kiva. Dama that he says, as we said on Daf Pei Aleph Mabeis, he says, Kol Dam She'nichnesu LeHeichel Chaper, he says, any blood of any carbon that is brought into the Heichel to create an atonement is psul, is invalidated. So that's not a stringency of Chatas, although the Pasuk says Chatas, and there are Tanaim that say only Chatas. Our Mishnah is like Rebbe Kiva, who says that even other Karbanis have that halacha. But the Gemara still asks, Shechen Mechaper Nachayev Ekrisis, the still the stringency the Chatas has over all other Kachar Kachim, where only a Chatas atones for liabilities of where if someone does it deliberately, he would get Karas. Says the Gemara, no, but Chatas Tashmi HaSakal, we're saying a stringency that even the Chatas that someone brings when he swore false regarding knowing testimony, where that's not a liability of Karas, even if he did it deliberately, regarding that Chatas, it still has a stringency of all of other Kachar Kachim regarding the Dam Chatas of washing the garment. But the Gemara still asks, Shekein tu na arba matanis, but there's still a stringency that every chatas has, that it needs to have four separate gifts of blood on the mizbeach. In contrast, all of the kachim, the most it has is what's shtaim shen arba, two that's four. And even those two that's four, you're only doing it in two throws. Although it's going to be on the four sides, but it's going to be two throws, whereas chatas, you have to do four separate throws. Says the Gemara, Krei Bishmal. No, the time of Mishlach Krei Bishmal, that he says, in Perkei Zemekamen, Daf Nun Gimon Beis, he says, Kol damim tunin. All the gifts of bloods of all karbanis require a separation of dal matanis, of separate four gifts. Now, although other karbanis can be on two corners, but they're also going to have four gifts. When you go to the two corners, the two opposite ones, you do one side of one corner, another side of the other corner, and then the other corner too, another one and two on each side. So that's also four gifts. So therefore, it's not a stringency of chatas. But the Gemara still asks, even according to Bishmol, there's still going to be a stringency of chatas because al dalat kranis. By only with chatas do the four gifts have to be on four corners. In contrast, the other karbanis, even though you're doing it four times, but it's only at two corners. So that the Gemara answers, you're right. But al tameich, according to your reasoning that you're saying that, oh, this is the only one, there are other ones, says the Gemara who's that's answering, you're right, there's many different things that chatas has stringency over other karbanis. because her ikka karen, there's the halacha that has to be on the corner, whereas all other bloods are not in the corner because they're below the bottom half of the mizbech. Her ikka etzba, there's halacha that the chatas has to be put on with the kohen's finger, whereas other bloods are just thrown from the vessel from a distance. There's also the halacha that not only does it have to be on the karanis of the mizbeach, but it has to be on the exact corner of the karen, whereas other blood don't have that halacha. El Rather says the Gemara to answer the questioner, Chad mitrei plus a chuminaka. You're right, it's not the only one. The Mishnah picked one out of two out of three stringencies that chatas has, but you're right, a chatas, no matter which chatas, has many more stringencies over even other kacha. Now the Gemara continues the halacha of our perek regarding the kibbutz begadim when the dam achata spills on it. So says the Mishnah, beged, a garment which the dam achata spilled on it, sheyatza chutz l'kloim, but it was taken out of the curtains of the azar. So says the Mishnah, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, so nichnas, you have to bring it back into the azar, u'machabtze b'makom kadosh, you have to wash it in the holy place. Like we said, the halacha is, the washing of this has to be in the holy place, although it went out, you bring it back in. Let's say nitma chutz l'kloim, but let's say after the garment was taken out, it became tummy out of the curtains. Now, you can't bring something tummy into the azar. So what you have to do then is, but you still have the halacha bring it back in because it has to be washed in the azar. So first, you're kairai. First, when it's still outside the klum, you tear it, which by tearing it, it ruins the garment and thus it purifies it from the tumma. So now you're allowed to bring it back in. And then nichnis to mechab, said makom kadosh, then you bring it back in and you wash it in the holy place, meaning the azar. Same thing for the other halachas of the previous Mishnah. Kli cheres, sheyatza chutz l'kloim, the earthenware vessel, which was taken out of the curtains, said nichnes v'shever b'magam kodesh, you have to bring it back in and break it in the azar. Let's say nitma chutz l'kloim, however, it became tummy once it was taken out of the curtains, you can't bring it back a tummy vessel. So noikvoy, so you make a hole in the vessel, which purifies it from its tumma, because now it's not usable in its original sense, because now things would drip in or out. And v'nichnas v'shevar b'makom kodesh, now that you broke it, now it's not tummy anymore, now you can bring it back in and break it now totally in the azar. So to clean the cheshe sheyotza chutz l'kloim, regarding an earthenware, the metal, the copper vessel, which was taken out of the curtains, nichnas v'markev v'shayt v'makom kodesh, you have to go and bring it back in and purge it and rinse it in the azar. Let's say, however, nitma chutz l'kloim, let's say it became tummy when it was out of the curtains. Then poichasa, here you use a different terminology, it doesn't say noikvai, because a metal utensil does not become purified from its tumma, we're just making a small hole like an earthenware vessel, which is not as significant. Here you would have to make a much larger hole to make it non-vessel-like of its original purpose of utility to make it not tumma anymore. And then v'nichnesu merke v'shayt v'magum kadosh. Now that it's not tumma anymore, now you bring it in, and now you rinse it, and you wash it, and you purge it in the azar. Now, on the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara says, Maskev l'Ravina. Ravina asks, specifically regarding the first halacha of the garment that had the dam chata spill on it, that is, kairai, you're saying that if it became tummy outside, so you can't bring it back in to wash it in the azara, because it's tummy, so first you tear it, and then you bring it back in? But beged amrachmana, but the Torah says, what do you have to wash? A garment, minse, at the time when you're washing it, has to be called a beged. But when you tear it, yeah, the reason why it's not tum anymore because it's not a garment anymore, but then it's not a garment to wash it. So what are you fulfilling? How are you doing that? And that says the Gemara, no. He doesn't totally tear the whole garment in half from one end to the other to split into two. Rather, the Meshayer Bei Kedem Afiris. He retains from the garment along the width of the, along the length of the garment, like how much a width of a kerchief is, where it's still purifying it from its tumma, because once the majority of it tore, so now it's not fit anymore for what's called melachti rishayin, it's not fit anymore for what it originally was used for. So that purifies it from its tumma. But since, however, there was still enough of the garment in its width left, the amount of a kerchief, so it's still fit to connect the two halves, and therefore the designation of calling a beged is still on it, and therefore it's still a beged in regard to the halacha of washing it from the demei chatas. And that is the Gemara. Is that really so? But Va'amar, when Rav Huna says in Perek Oyver Reitim Chundaf Kof Chav Gimel Mabez, he says, Loishano, we didn't learn the salacha when a garment becomes tummy. When you start tearing it, that once you're going to tear it, the majority is going to become tar. Says Rav Huna, that's Elishaloi Shirebe, only if you didn't leave over that little bit that's left, which still connects the two halves, Kedem Afiris, the amount of a kerchief. Of a shayba kedem afaris, but if you left enough, that's an amount of a kerchief. Chibur have it's still considered connected, and it's still going to be tamei. So the way you said that how it's still going to be a beggar to wash it is because you're leaving still a little bit amount of a kerchief connecting the two halves. So that's why it's a beggar. But then says the Gemara, if that's that, then you even it's not going to be tar then. It's still going to be tummy, as we see the halacha of Rav Huna. So the Gemara answers on top of tzadik hayim enough, no midrabanu. That halacha is only a rabbinic decree that maybe you're not going to tear the majority. So if we said if you still have that amount left, we're still rabbinically going to consider that it's tummy. But biblically, if you tear the majority of it, it is going to be tar, and therefore it's going to be permitting us to bring it back in to do the mitzvah of kibbutz because biblically it's still considered beged. It is also biblically not considered tummy anymore. Rabbinically it is, but since it's for the biblical halacha of washing it, we're not going to go with the rabbinic law of considering it tummy, and therefore if one tears the majority, but there's still the amount of a kerchief left to it, it's going to be in this middle ground of still being a garment, so you could do the halacha of kibbutz in the azara. However, it's not going to be tummy anymore because biblically, if you tear the majority, it's not tummy anymore, although rabbinically it is, but for the mitzvah d'oraisa of kibbutz, we're going to go with the biblical law of not being tummy, and that's how you're able to tear it and then bring it into wash and azara.